Thank you, Madam Speaker. Speaker, every time I stand in this House during the budget debate, I like to recognize the people of Castro South who have sent me into this House to represent them. And that's why I want to just say that these people, the groups, the communities are the people of Huasho, the people of Monroe, the people of Benin, the people of Latop Road, the people of Cicero, Goodlands, Chicolomba St. Joseph, La Quamingo, and Marigo. These are the people on whose behalf I stand in the House of Assembly. And I represent them. And that's why I like to ask the question, what is the role of the parliamentary rep? Because when you stand here, you ought to be standing representing the people. Because my contribution to debates in this country is only because the people have decided that I should speak on their behalf in this House. So, Madam Speaker, I say that the present mode of governance, solely by the executive, makes a mockery of our parliamentary democracy ideals. And I say that, Madam Speaker, because I heard the member for Denry North, my good friend, my classmate. My good friend and my classmate. I hear him speak, and he said that the Prime Minister made two statements in Parliament that he was preparing the country. But from what I realized that the Prime Minister or the government of the United Workers Party never consulted the parliamentary representative of the Castro South people in all the discussions that have gone on in terms of the crisis that we find ourselves in today. The Prime Minister can make a statement in the House. He doesn't consult me when he makes a statement in the House. Anybody can make a statement in this House. My responsibility is to be consulted on issues that affect the livelihoods of persons in Castro South. And Madam Speaker, you can call whatever names you want. Robert Lewis is the only legitimate, at this point, parliamentary rep of Castro South. All decisions taken by the government affect persons that I represent. And for us to say that making statements is enough, it's not good. We have to move into an era where the 17 members of this House are consulted on issues that affect the people. Madam Speaker, upon being elected to serve the people, one should legitimately expect that issues and plans that will impact their lives will be discussed. And therefore, before a final decision is made, these contributions of the parliamentary reps will be calculated and factored into that decision. Madam Speaker, I'm tired of the token invitations to engage in issues that affect the lives of the people of Castro South without any real meaning. Madam Speaker, my first responsibility is to the people, to serve their interests, and then the interests of St. Lucians. So I'm not supposed to be speaking on issues that affect St. Lucians generally before I speak on issues that affect the people of Castro South in particular. This very exercise, this budget exercise, only affords me the right to speak simply because of me being elected as the people's representative. And therefore, I feel alienated in the last 2 years because I have not had a meaningful discussion with this government about issues that affect the lives of the people of Castro South. Madam Speaker, based on the preceding remarks, I should like to suggest that future administrations, beginning next year, give parliamentary reps, all of them, a particular point to come to the budget preparing committee to make suggestions, proposals to the budget. Madam Speaker, the government is made up of departments and agencies. The agencies and departments of government plan for a national focus, the national emphasis. Parliamentary reps are the ones who know what's going on in their constituencies, and they are the ones who can affect the lives most directly of the people whom they represent. It is time that governments understand in the 21st century that we can no longer believe in this thing about a winner-takes-all government. I represent approximately, or I should say in excess of 10,000 people in the Castro South Basin. Why do I say that? According to the voters list, it says there are about 7,000 persons, and we're not even talking about young people. And generally, if you factor young people, you can multiply that by 3. Persons below the age of 18. The government does not recognize that Parliament and the budgetary process is one that must involve every single representative of the people. It's about time we stop playing that game. And to expect Robert Lewis to come to a house that he cannot meaningfully tell the people of Castro itself what it is that the government has planned, only when he gets a statement the day before he knows what's in the budget. This must stop, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I hear on a daily basis young people in Castro itself say to me, Robert, we'll get the roads fixed. But we have to educate our young people that based on the mode of governance in these countries, parliamentary representatives who are out of government generally have very little say in their lives, and they must start pushing against these ideals. That we must show young people that what governance is that they've elected somebody to represent them, and that person should be consulted in issues that affect their lives. And I want to tell the young people of Castro itself that it's not because Robert Lewis does not want to have the roads in Cicero in particular fixed. Because I live in Cicero. I've lived all my life. When I go through Cicero, I see the potholes just like you. It's not that I'm heartless. I have sent countless letters about roads in Castro itself to no avail. But of course, there's going to be a government, and the government may be made up of a different political persuasion than the parliamentary rep. But it's about time that we make sure we take care of all the people of our country. So I want to propose, because my good friend, the member for Mikunof, in her absence I say that, I had to ask for her permission. We've had countless discussions about these issues. Let us forget about attacking the opposition. Let's forget about the party politics and begin to think about how we can allocate to each parliamentary rep a certain sum under the budget that he or she can take care of the priorities of his constituency. This is what new governance is. This is what new vision is. That we can move from the 30 years that we've been independent. We can move to a new St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, I reiterate, because I think some people don't understand, and it's not their fault. Some people have issues. They can only speak in this house because they are given that opportunity. But I want to say that it's about time we grow up and stop attacking each other and think about how we can govern this country. That's why the people of St. Lucia have this government in. Madam Speaker, we do not need constitutional review to achieve what I just said. We can do it even in the present state we are in. It makes a mockery of democracy in this country. Why am I supposed to be a parliamentary rep if every time something happens in Castro itself that I find out after the fact? Respect shows that people are going to find the people's representative and to speak with the people's representative and to tell him or her what is going on. I don't expect the government to tell me all the discussions of cabinet. No, I don't. But I expect, I want to be afforded the courtesy of being told that we want to know how best we can enrich the lives of the people in your constituency. So, Madam Speaker, I hope next year I am not starting my debate this way. I hope the government will take note. Madam Speaker, I want to move to they look very quickly at the theme of last year's budget. Last year's budget, the theme was, and this is the document, Madam Speaker. It is a document. That's because it's the budget speech. It's, the theme is, from vision to implementation, rallying our people for development in an era of global opportunities and challenges. From vision to implementation. That should sound a particular idea in the minds of the people. From vision, meaning no longer just putting things on paper, but moving forward. That has been the buzzword. And it's unfortunate that my good friend from the NRNF continues to say the government is a government of vision. Well, that's true. It is a government of vision, never implementing. Here's the government. Let me just go through the very same thing that my friend from Castries spoke about. The government said one in last year's budget, the redevelopment of Castries Business District in collaboration with Royal Caribbean Cruise. Nothing has happened. The government has told us nothing about it. That was the first thing from vision to implementation. That didn't happen. Two, development of Castries Cruise Port. That didn't happen either. Three, development and expansion of Beaufort Port. Speaker, they told us that discussions had been advanced with Dubai World about these issues. But again, Madam Speaker, it depends on who is doing the speaking. Whether it is the Minister of Finance and the other members around him, or whether it's somebody else who wants to tell them what they should believe. But we've reached a critical stage in our development that people engage in critical thinking, no longer just being told anything and accept it. People are going to make the distinction between what's facts and what's fiction, what's opinion and what's fact. The people of St. Lucia are not going to be fooled about this thing, because right now, young people have been taught in our schools to engage in critical thinking where they can know what the truth is. We can't fool them. Robert Lewis cannot fool anybody, and neither can the government. Four, government said last year, it will have development and expansion of Beaufort Freeport. Free zone, sorry. Five. The government said it will upgrade an expansion of the Huronneau International Airport. That's already five. Six, development of a new cruise port at Beaufort. Seven, expansion of George F.L. Charles Airport. Madam Speaker, I want you to remember that the theme of the budget was from vision to implementation. I have called seven projects there. Not one of them has been implemented by the government. Eight, the government talk about the Hess oil refinery. You know, it is sad that this government will continue to sit waiting for something to happen in the world to tell the people of St. Lucia we could not deliver on our promises. What next will the government expect? First, it was the crisis that we had when St. John untimely passed. The government agreed that it had not implemented its vision. But that vision that they talk about disappeared with St. John. The government talked about more projects in the 2008-2009 Fond Bay Resort in Miku, the Trumase Resort in Miku, the Sophia Estate Residence and Marina Complex in Laverie, the Ritz-Carlton, the River Dore Resort in Choiseul, Margaret Tooth Resort in Soufre, all hotels, all of them on page 17 of this document last year, and all of them were to have been started in the financial year 2008-2009. The only thing the government did of any good that they said they would do is they tried the privatization of Wasco. Because they said so in the budget. They tried it, and even that failed. Madam Speaker, there is not a lack of investor interest in this country. There is a lack of political will by this government. This government does not know what it means to implement. They can speak it. We have to be honest. A well-written speech here. But it's not just what is written. It's what the government can do. People are not interested in what you say. It's what you can do. the Minister of Finance should tell the country what happened to the other projects that never materialized. I wish the member for Denry South was more articulate in the press than he is in this house. The Minister of Finance told us there will be 7 hotels and multiple other tourism projects that would have created in excess of 2,000 new jobs in the last financial year. Madam Speaker, many of the projects were outlined under the quadrant approachment to development in last year's budget. All we have been, we've been saying the same thing, it will be starting in the new financial year. What has happened to the quadrant approach? What is the plan the government of St. Lucia has for those past projects that they brought to the House last year? Was it the government's plan or was it somebody else's plan? What happened to the more than $3 million allocated in last year's budget to tunnels? Maybe again, just put these two words, tunnel vision. Madam Speaker, you know, it really hurts me as a teacher because I am not here to apportion blame, but we must speak the truth. Young teachers in this country were told time and time again last year in this budget, in the budget last year, that the government was paying teachers at the Division of Teacher Education while they were being trained. And the then Speaker of the House would stop me from saying that this was a lie. We must be honest with ourselves. The government does not pay every teacher in this country who's at the Division of Teacher Education. Shortly after the budget, Madam Speaker, the young teachers of this country, and we can call them and find out, they asked me to a meeting, they called me to a meeting, and they asked me to take their point back to the Minister of Education. I wish the Minister was here, because the Prime Minister, the Minister of Education, along with the Speaker, kept saying that I didn't have the facts. But all of them knew what the facts were. Never in the history of our country has all teachers been paid while they're on training. Never. 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 Even the nurses, the government said that they are paying for nurses in training. The government must know that people no longer live in an age where there's no information. Our young people are aptly educated to understand when the government is bluffing. Madam Speaker, the budget last year, this year repeats some of the things the budget last year alluded to. The Minister of Finance stood in front of us last year and he said that the government has intentions. In fact, it was first mooted in the throne speech that the government will establish a National Education Commission. What has happened to that commission? It has come right back to us in this budget. Where is the from vision to implementation that the government talks about? When will the government implement anything that it says it will implement? Madam Speaker, in the budget of 2007-2008, and rightly so, the Prime Minister at the time, Sir John BC, said that there's a task force that would be established. Funding came, was in the budget for that task force, and that Sir John told us through his government that they would have a task force on universal secondary education. It is now 2 years, and this government cannot take to this house a report on the task force on universal secondary education that we as members of this house can look to see how the people's money was spent and what are the recommendations that this government has for the implementation of universal secondary education. I have made it clear, and I agree. Every project that a government implements must be reviewed. And there's nothing wrong with a task force on USE. What is wrong is that this government, 2 years, cannot take to the people of this country a report that says what the way forward is. That's a government that lacks vision, does not have any vision. Madam Speaker, a government must not only put things into a budget. A government must put things into a budget that has high probability. Don't come to the people of St. Lucia and tell them you're going to have 7 hotels, there's going to be 7% growth, and there's going to be all these tunnels built and all these things. when you know the probability is very low. Those of us who deal with statistics know that unless probabilities are a lot greater than about 0.5, we don't begin seriously to talk about them in terms of happening. Some things you just do not put in a budget. You leave them out. Grandiose plans the government has, nothing to show for it. Manasika, let me just speak to the issue of education in this year's budget. And I have already said that last year the government said that they were going to put a National Education Commission together. I think we need, these things are important. Any government that's serious will look at its education system. So I tell the government it's a good plan. But I hope that it will happen in this financial year, because it was also mooted in last year's. But I see in the estimates, Madam Speaker, anyhow, I don't see. Maybe the Minister of Education will tell us. I do not see any allocations for a commission of education. I do not see. Maybe it's there, but I looked. I do not see. It is not. I'm simply saying I didn't see. Maybe the minister will tell me where in the budget it is, how much has been allocated for that commission, and so on. Because the Prime Minister simply said he never gave us any details as to what will happen. But I hope the commission does not follow the same route as the task force on USE. And speaking of our last three budgets, we've also been hearing an upgrade of the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College to full university status. If a government is giving us, and as the member of Castries, he says, you must listen to me carefully because I'm not against university in our country. We must move our young people beyond just secondary education. We must provide them with the highest level of education that they can take. But if a government for 3 years in its budget keeps saying it will upgrade the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College, a university in St. Lucia does not belong to the United Workers Party alone. It belongs to all the people of St. Lucia. I'm an educator by profession. I am in this house, not for once in 3 years, or in 2.5 years, I should say, that anybody has invited the opposition to discussions on the way forward for St. Lucia achieving that status. If the government is not, if this party does not form the government in the next term, what does the opposition have to work with? No idea as to what plans have come across. Nobody has put any information in front of this house after 3 years on this is where we are at in terms of university status. So as far as an institution, Madam Speaker, if I'm not wrong, may take about to run Sir Arthur properly, right now as a community college, will take approximately $25 million to run Sir Arthur, and I want us to listen, yes, properly. That is, Sir Arthur does not have to go out there sourcing funds. It will take Sir Arthur approximately $25 million a year. I recognize that the government has made an increase in Sir Arthur's allocation this year, an increase of $1 million. But I still feel that in times when it is rough, I do not know what the haste is to move Sir Arthur to a university without consulting every stakeholder. And I'm sure the people of the St. Lucia Labour Party, the members of the opposition in this country, are stakeholders in education in this country. Madam Speaker, has the government made any provisions for human resource training to train? I am not aware, and I'm not saying they have not, but again, when you don't have information, you cannot speak to information, you have to ask questions. What sorts of plans have been put in for Sir Arthur? If we are going to move Sir Arthur to full-fledged university, what sorts of plans have we put in place for the human resource development? What plans? Sir Arthur presently houses sixth form students. A university does not take sixth form students. Sixth form students Sixth form is part of secondary education. And I don't know how long we have to keep saying the same thing. So what plans are in place for the sixth formers who are at SAAFA? Does the government have a plan to move them back to the secondary school? And if so, is the minister going to tell us of these plans? These questions are not meant to attack. These questions are meant for us to know what the development plans are. Because SAAFA, you cannot continue. If you're going to move SAAFA, SAAFA is going to become a hybrid institution now. SAAFA is going to be, I assume, a community college as well as a university. Now, I do not know what the name is. I have asked many persons. I do not know. So I'm expecting the Minister of Education to give us, put some flesh on these bones. It is not just good to just tell us that you're going to move SAAFA to a full-fledged university. What is it that the government is trying to outdo the last government on? We have to plan. As the former Minister of Education said, at Mario Michel, he said, any Minister of Education in any country can get up any day and sign something and say, you have a university. We can say that. But it's the currency that that university will have. And Speaker, we have many examples. We have to properly finance our schools. We are not even able to meet SAAFA as it is now. I've been a member of staff at SAAFA, I know. We have not even been able to finance SAAFA the way it functions now. We are going to take it to university status, and we're not ready. We're not ready for it. Let us take our time. Let's not just see. The government had said it was going to take 3 years. Well, it is 8 months until 3 years. So I hope to see how the government plans to move. And I hope the government will provide scholarships for members of SAAFA staff presently, because I know a university ought to at least move their people a little higher than just at the undergraduate degree level or even just at the master's level. We need, universities depend on research. It depends on having more persons to deal with the issues of academia. And Speaker, I heard in the budget I read, I suppose the Minister of Education will give a little more on it, about discipline in schools. But what new curriculum, what new stuff in the curriculum of schools are we implementing to ensure that we take care of some of the discipline? And I was listening, and I want to say it here, I was listening to a particular talk show, and I must tell the member for Miku South, I was really impressed with a school in his constituency, Deriso. That Deriso speaks about giving children character education. Because that, it's not almost all over, Mr. Minister. It's not almost all over. We need to be told how. Tell us how this is going to be done. I have worked with the Universal Peace Federation on trying to get SAAFA to do this whole concept. Because when you start character education training, all curricular innovations that you want must begin with teachers. If you don't start with the teachers when you're implementing innovations in education, it falls flat. And that's why last year I asked UPF to work with the teacher division to make sure that they continue to provide teachers with character education. Because the teachers who are going to implement it, they're not just saying, Mr. Minister, that it's in the schools. What is the plan for implementation? So I want to compliment Deriso, because I had not heard it very much about any school. I go to schools. My daughter is in school. I don't hear that she tells me that there's such. I'm not saying. That's very good. Madam Speaker, I want to help the government here, because again, I'm not attacking the government, but it's for us to work together. There's a lot of talk about let's work together. The onus is on the government. The onus is on the government to come forward with an initiative to the opposition and say, look, this is what we would like to do. Are you willing? An introduction, I will encourage the Minister of Education to introduce a graduation requirement in high school. Giving something like what you call community service, making for forms and say formers give at least 150 hours in community service in the last 2 years in school. You see, because all I heard the Minister for National Security, and he's trying to come up with issues to combat the loitering among our young people. But giving young people a requirement of about 150 hours to graduate from high school would mean a lot of the loitering that takes place downtown. These young people will be engaged in other activities so that they would not be on the street. I don't think the curfew is the way to go. We have to be more creative than that. Let us put a high school requirement that they have to graduate. For them to graduate, for them to get out, they must have at least 150 hours of community service. They can work with the Red Cross. They can work with many NGOs. But at least this will help them. What it will do for the young people, it will help them to develop the concept of volunteering service for national service. Volunteering for national service. Young people ought to be given these sort of opportunities to develop the same character that we want them to develop in later life. That should help to sensitize the young people how they can make a contribution to the society. For most of these young people, the world of work must help them to understand the dignity of the human person and why it is that they give service at times. So if we do that, a lot of the loitering downtown, we will be able to get rid of it. And I just want to submit that to you, Mr. Minister of Education. Because a Minister of Education is an educator also. And I think he's a decent man, and I've said that before. But I just think it is so ridiculous how we handle issues in this country. People don't consult each other. We believe we must be at war with each other. But this is not what it is. What affects St. Lucia today will affect me tomorrow. Madam Speaker, I noticed as of last year, just want to move in civil education, contribution to arts, and to educational enhancement. I noticed last year, the government cut the contribution to the School of Music by about $50,000. Now, I think that is not a good step, Madam Speaker. Because the School of Music, when it was established by Sir John, Sir John as Prime Minister, his intentions must have been that our young people would have an avenue that when they leave school on afternoons or they're not at school on a Saturday, whatever day that there's no school, that they would find something other than just the academics to take part of. And that's what the School of Music is. In times when we see our young people going astray, we have to get programs and we have to support programs that will uplift them. I must say the Ministry of Social Transformation is doing an excellent job with some of the young people in Fuashu. I have seen a change in these young people when they engage in that plan that they have on Barnard Hill. These are the positive things that we do with young people. Get them off the streets by keeping things like music, schools, investing money in other areas besides just this. Madam Speaker, the government must learn to listen. There is a certain style that this government has. You bring an issue to the government, and it pretends that it has not heard you. But a few months later, it implements the very same thing. Since the last election, the opposition has been saying to the government, and the government knows that the STEP program was not only about beautification programs. The STEP program was not about people cutting grass only. There are many people in the public service today who became members of the public service through the STEP program. They were given an opportunity. Now, what else can we do? If the opposition brings something that is good, at least what you do is you take it and you say, look, we recognize. And people accept and they have more respect for you when you tell them what is going on, what you can do to help. I heard a government talk about a HOPE program. HOPE is similar to STEP, you know. Very same thing, but the government wants to do it 2 years, 4 months later. Why? Because the government wants to pretend that it was not listening. What will the government do so different to the STEP program? You know, we must stop deluding ourselves. Our young people are watching, and they know, they say, well, you mean for 2 years, some persons in this country have been denied an opportunity to work, and now the government is going to implement a HOPE program? And when the government talks about STEP, Madam Speaker, I want to make the point that my people in Marigo in particular, they have been complaining bitterly about how works were taken away from them under this administration. Yes, Marigo. People who had for years on both governments worked as whatever you call it, cleaning the verges and so on, caretakers. And people who are not elected by the people of Cashel South can say, well, your government is not in power. Our government is in power. That's what the member for Labrie has been talking about in terms when he said people have been victimized. Madam Speaker, we must stop these issues. The people of Marigo are Saint Lucians like everybody else. We cannot take work from one and give to another. We have to create work for those who don't have. So I want to tell the government, when they're going to implement the HOPE project, I hope the parliamentary reps will have some part of the discussion, because that's what we are there to take care of, the needs of our people. You see, it is one thing I heard the East Cashel member says, I have not been in government, Madam Speaker. I have been in school, and I have been in administration in school, and I have learned, you do not tamper with people. The young people I taught, I try to treat them like human beings. Today, they are professional. They will come back to you. They know how you treated them. They will tell you, well, sometimes you treated them and they didn't understand why you were treating them that way. But at least they will say that you're fair in your treatment. The government must remember that while it's now in government, it must practice tolerance. It must practice tolerance, because the young people of this country are watching. So I want to tell the government, I think hope is the way to go, because hope is just another name for STEP. And I think it's the way to go, because there are people, Madam Speaker, we're not trying to be arrogant here. We're not trying to downplay anybody. But there are people at a certain state of development that there are certain aspects of education they can no longer pursue, because you will not move them, but what you have to do is to provide them with a livelihood. Trying to suggest that cutting grass is not good, that's work. The dignity of work. When God made man, work was supposed to make man feel he was important. He had self-esteem. People want to work. They don't want handouts. They want to work. Even if they cut grass for 2 hours, they feel that they have earned their livelihood. Madam Speaker, I move to the issue of national security. We are very lackadaisical in this regard in our country. The Prime Minister should have known, the Minister of Finance, that when a member of government, that is a minister of government who holds particular portfolios, does not sit in this lower house, that there ought to be a little more flesh on some of the issues that you bring to us in a particular portfolio. It's a very scanty discussion on national security in this country. A government that came to power on the back of a very big high crime rate. This government has done nothing substantial or significant to address this issue. I have made many overtures, and I continue to speak of my friend, because forget about what people tell you. I knew the Minister of National Security long before I came to politics, and I will not abandon my friendship with him because of politics. That's the man that I am. I always go to him and I suggest to him, but I don't think that it lies with him, it lies with the Prime Minister. When is the Prime Minister going to have a serious discussion in this House with all members, on the way forward in addressing the high crime rate in this country? Our country is not safe, Madam Speaker. Our country is not safe. Arriving at this house this morning, Madam Speaker, it's not the parliament that's supposed to do that. That's the responsibility of the government. Arriving at this house, security, the main, one of the biggest institutions in this house, in this country, sorry. The government has not put certain things in place. It is, this country belongs to all of us. The St. Lucia Police Force is the only institution at this point that really is at the helm of our national security. The Royal St. Lucia Police Force. This government is just plain. When something happens today, they decide that they are going to take actions on what happened today, tomorrow. We must have a vision for where we want our people to go. So I expected the Minister of Finance to present the budget because the member, the minister of the portfolio for national security does not sit in this house. So tell us a little more than just the one-page discussion that he had about national security. Because national development hinges on the premise of law and order. St. Lucians need to hear more concrete plans from the government on how it plans to tackle the upsurge in crime in the country. The statements in the budget are just the bones of the plan. We need to have the meat of that plan. Madam Speaker, the member for Denny North says that everything in the budget is feasible, can be achieved. And I agree, everything can be achieved because once human beings outline plans, it means that their plans can be achieved. But sometimes, are these plans realistic? Madam Speaker, I began by saying that the parliamentary representative is excluded from making contributions to proposals in the budget. And that's why, right now, Madam Speaker, I would like to speak about proposals that I have so that this government could take into consideration on behalf of the people of Castries South. Madam Speaker, I listened and I read. Some $10.5 million has been allocated for monies allocated for road resurfacing in this country. Well, the member for Castries East might be a very happy parliamentarian. He said he's going to be happy after the fact anyway. Mr. Speaker, my apologies. Yes. Mr. Speaker, I have not seen. Maybe it is in some other plan, and I am almost certain that I have written to the Ministry of Works, in particular the Minister, and I hope at least he will tell us somewhere in this budget that there are plans for the resurfacing of some roads in Castries South. Because when I could not get any answer from the minister last year, I specifically wrote a letter to the Prime Minister to ask him to help me in that regard. For example, the roads in Kubari. Madam Speaker, it's about time we begin to see Kubari is no longer just an estate where certain private drives are established. No, it's not that. Especially when the Millennium Highway was developed, Kubari was used as a through road. A lot of the traffic there, and that destroyed the main network of the Kubari Road. The people of Kubari pay taxes also. They are St. Lucians, and their road needs to be fixed. And I want to say that I hope that the Prime Minister, if his letter is over a year old, I did send a copy of that letter to the people of Kubari to show that the Prime Minister had given me the undertaking that the roads in Kubari would be fixed, and we are still awaiting. And Mr. Speaker, the roads in the George Cooper Road needs rehabilitation also. It's unfortunate. I hope the Minister for Communications is actually paying attention and making notes. George Cooper Road, so I will be as happy as my friend from Caspisi. George Cooper Road needs fixing. The Cicero Main Road needs some attention. And the Prime Minister, I've always welcomed him into Cicero, because we have mutual friends in Cicero. So I hope he takes a little note and say, I would not like to visit Robert in these bad roads.
Honourable Member, you remain 15 minutes in which to complete your contribution.
Honourable Speaker, I want to beg that you suspend Section 3210 to allow the member to speak for another 30 minutes.
Honourable Members, the question is that the member for Caspisi South be given an extra 40 minutes in which to complete his contribution. As many as in support say aye, as many that would not like to support say no, the ayes have it.
Thank you, Honourable Members, for your indulgence. So I was saying to the Minister for Communication Works, that there are many ring roads in Cicero. And the reason I bring up these ring roads, because some 23 years ago, the government of St. Lucia relocated many people from the Conway area and many other parts of that Barnardsville, of that hill area. For those who didn't know, it was really a Barnardsville area into Cicero. And I think it was only fair that the government had provided the roads. But it is 23 years. I grew up in Cicero. I lived in Cicero all my life. And I have seen these roads still unpaved. Still unpaved that young people in this 21st century. And I'm not blaming anybody. But I'm just saying, let us make an attempt to address that situation. Because the young people should not have to buy two pairs of shoes. One to get from their homes to the buses, and one to get from the buses to school. It is unheard of in the 21st century. So Monkeytong, the ring roads in Monkeytong, Cicero needs some attention. Bastien Joseph Ticolan, the people of this area, they are St. Lucians also. Anybody, and I would love to drive anybody there now, anybody who has gone through Bastien Joseph Ticolan knows that the roads are in a deplorable condition. So we hope that something will happen on behalf of the people of Bastien Joseph Ticolan, because they've been crying out. I know there were plans to have this road fixed. Something was done on it, but I don't think it met the standard. So, Mr. Minister, I look forward to having some help here on behalf of the people of Bastien Joseph. In the Goodlands area, there is need for a road that would open up the western section of Goodlands. The plans are there. It will open up the section of Goodlands that leads to the George Charles Secondary School. There needs a road that opens it up, this area. And that is what we need to do. I am not expecting everything to happen at once, but I need to keep it in the consciousness of this government that there is need for that road in Goodlands. Now, although Marigot is, you know, my constituency is a very linear constituency, so I can follow it in a very linear fashion. But Marigot is very important to the tourism product in this country. I'm very disturbed that the Minister of Tourism has not seen it fit. And I heard my good friend say that he's a member, he lives in Marigot. Why isn't there a cry to have the roads? After I've written at least four letters, at least. No, I would say three, at least three, to be fair. Letters to ask that the roads in Marigot be upgraded, because it's part of our tourism product. Marigot is one of the most beautiful parts of this country, or in the Caribbean for that matter. I do not think that there is a cruise ship that comes to St. Lucia and some of its passengers does not end up in Marigot. The Marigot roads need to be fixed. We have the Discovery down in Marigot also. This is important to the tourism product. So we need to do something, not just paying lip service to it, but do something constructive about the Marigold. So again, I heard 10.5 million. I hope we can get about some parts of that money going into looking into how we can help the people of Marigold. Now, I was trying not to, Madam Speaker. I didn't really want to address the whole housing project in Marigold. I really didn't want to. But after hearing some discussion this morning, I think it's a few questions I need to ask. I have made the point in this very house that we should not remove persons who have been living on lands for 35 and 40 years only to create new communities and have these people removed and bring new people to the area. I had said so. I am not in any way saying the government should not look into providing housing stock in this country. That is commendable. But the Marigold Housing Project started in September 2007. When am I going to get, as a parliamentary for Castro South, some answers as to what is the issue with that development? It is one thing for the government to say that it's increasing the housing stock. But just saying it is not good enough. Marigold has been languishing, that development. It is languishing. I do not think that we have moved speedily enough on that Marigold project. A lot of people have been displaced. People who grew up in Marigold have lived on that land for 35, 40 years. And this project, in my opinion, has not gone as far as one would expect. I need some answers in the Marigold housing development, and the relevant ministries, the relevant agencies should provide these answers. Madam Speaker, when crime is on the increase, our young people need places to recreate so that they can do other than what they do on the streets to lime about. Fuasho is a classic case that we need to find. We need to find for a growing section of it's a part of the urban area. There's very little sporting facility in that area compared to the number of young people who are in that area. I must say that the development of having re-transformed the Fuasho Community Center is commendable, because these plans were pursued, were left unfinished by the last government, but it has been pursued, and I must say that this is a good move. But we need now to have sampling facility, whether it is to identify, and I have identified that I need to go have the government, because the government has the power, to have some sporting facility for the young people of Fuasho, like a basketball court or something of that nature. We need to have something for them that will keep them away from the streets. We need to upgrade the Banan playing field. We need to find ways to keep the young people of Banan. These are the things that will keep them off the streets, keep them out of danger. It's a very small playing field, but very well situated. So we need to do that. There are also lights that we can reconnect to have these young people take part in sporting activities even during the evening hours. There is need also for areas of development in Tapion. There is land. Government has the land for that, where we can do things for the young people of Tapion. In Cicero, I would like the government to know that Cicero Sigal did uplift this country over a long period of time by its engagement in volleyball. It's about time we refurbish the Cicero volleyball court. This court needs to be refenced, and it needs to be given all that is necessary to make it attractive to the young people so that they can use it as a facility to recreate. We also need to give the Cicero Community Center a facelift. Again, I want to see the Prime Minister will come, and I want to be nice to him to see, at least when you come to visit me, this center, you ought to say at least, I am proud to be at the helm of the government, helping the people of Castro itself. That's what government is for. But we also need additional sporting facilities in CISO. CISO has grown since 1986 from probably just about 1,800 to 1,000 people. Now I'm sure CISO can boast of, I don't know if that's the right word, boast, maybe 4,000 people. It has grown. So we can no longer just have one court in CISO. The upper parts of CISO needs a playing facility. There's an area in CISO has been called a gulf. I don't know if it's a gulf because I have not experienced any such activity as has been experiencing the real gulf in the Middle East. But it's a nice area. And I think I have identified a place in there we can do something for the young people of CISO. They need places to recreate. That's how we're going to keep them off the streets. I also want to say that for a long time, in fact, I come into the politics in 2 years, 4 months, and I've lamented the fact that in Tikolo and Basna Joseph, this community does not have a community center, it does not have any sporting facility, and there are so many young people, and we need to cater for the young people of this area. I want the government to lend a hand. And I'm going to have, I'll throw it out now because I'm going to speak to my good friend and classmate again. Why did I say friends and classmate? Because like I said, the politics is not going to take me away from those I've always known as friends. But I want something done in Tikolo and Basna Joseph on behalf of these young people. Their creative talents must be harnessed. There is too much in our young people for us to let them go into a life where they have nothing to do but just sit on the streets. Tikolo Basna Joseph is one such place that I would love to see. A community center someday and at least a playing field. We can give them a court or something. It is for us to have the political will and for the government to work with the parliamentary rep to ensure that this happens. You know, and I have said to the member for Castro East, there are two communities that we share. Castro South East, my apologies. Castro South East. And it is not the politics we have to play. It is two communities we share, Goodlands and Lacuabingo. And I would like him to consider, for the tourism product, to give the people in Lacua a little kiosk where, and it's on your side of the constituency anyhow, and most of the people who sell on that roadside are also your constituents, but I interface with them on a regular basis. And I say to them, it would be nice for us to put a little kiosk there for you where you can sell your merchandise. Because they sell stuff like nice St. Lucian dolls and other things. So I'm employing the member for Castro South East to consider the people of Lacua that they sell there right on that roadside next to the cross. And it would be nice for us that they can sell their wares even when it rains or even when the sun is out. Because it's important for them to feel that they're part of the tourism product. Thank you. We heard you now, Minister of Finance. Madam Speaker, Marigo, as I end, has grown tremendously. Marigo needs a new human resource development center. It is not new. It needs a human resource development center. Marigo is one of the most engaging communities in Castro South. They have a number of agencies that they've come together. The people of Marigo have rallied with each other to create the Marigo Development Committee, to create the Marigo Bay Business Association, and a number of other civic unions in Marigo, so civil society in Marigo. These people need to be taken care of. They need to feel that they're part of the St. Lucian people. And I hope that this government will not just wait. Will not just wait for the people of Marigo to continue to ask for some of the basic things that they need to survive. This government must not depend on catastrophe to suggest that they could not implement their budget. Any government, and I do not expect, it would be really ridiculous for anybody to expect any government to be able to implement necessarily every single project that it puts down in a budget. It hopes, but at least it will achieve. There are not too many indices that we can use over the last 2 years to suggest that this government is going to implement the budget as it has said. When you come to the people of St. Lucia, you need to say, here are the performance indices that tells you that I will be able to implement the budget that I have put forward to the people. So I want, Madam Speaker, to say that the budget on paper looks good. Looks good on paper. But the government needs to implement, move away from the visioning. It has been, I'm tired of hearing we have vision. Saying you have vision does not mean you have vision. You must move away from visioning to implementation, as you said last year. So I await the Minister of Education to give me some answers to some of my questions. I hope, we will want the discussion in the budget, because the Prime Minister, rightly so, could not tell us everything. But we hope the Minister of Education will answer some of the questions that I posed. I hope the Minister of Communication Works will make the people of Castro itself recognize that when I stand here and I stand on their behalf, I ask for certain projects, that he can assure the people of Castro itself that this government will work together with their parliamentary rep to ensure that some of the things that are asked for are delivered. I thank you.